Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is a Wednesday, March 13th. We have a new pope, and how do they say that? Habeamus or something, undergroundum. We have underground radio. Good evening, Eddie. How are you? Excited for the Pope, I know.
Yes, Pope on a rope. Yes, I'm doing okay. I am rocking in the free world. Everything is good. I'm still high off the viewing party. Living the La Vida Loca. That is being a New York Ranger fan, I guess.
We'll start there. What a fantastic event on Sunday. The Irish Times in New York City, they did a great job. I heard pretty good reviews about the food. The beer was cold. It was served well. Bit of a sausage fest behind the bar. Even a couple of the girls that were at the party were saying, "Where are the hot girls working at this bar?" And I said, "Well, there are. I guess there are none." But they took good care of us at a great event. Great win by the Rangers. Great performance by Marty Biron. Great performance by everyone. Costa didn't break anything. The monkey didn't break anything. No gnomes were damaged. No stupid jokes from John Newman. And everybody lived to tell about it. Great pictures. If you haven't seen them on our great Facebook group, Mario Morgado outdid himself once again. Steve Schaefer was there throwing people out the window. It was fantastic. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, you got to meet a lot of great people and meet some people face to face, and that's always good. And really, I got to say, usually when you get a group or a gaggle together, they're like a bunch of dicks. But I have to say, there were no dicks in this place.
No,
everybody was super.
Not our crew.
Yeah. Everybody was super cool, super fun.
Yep, yep.
And it might have been one dick.
Real supportive.
But
great
and
Stan
everybody,
from Bayside was there. Very professional looking Stan from Bayside.
Yeah, Stan from Bayside really threw me a curve because I really kind of pictured him different. I don't know. I kind of thought he would look. Stan, don't take any umbrage towards this. First of all, you were very dapper and very nice-looking man, if I may say so. But I kind of pictured you like Fred Mertz. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just the voice. I don't know. But I met you at all came together.
On, that's it, based on the voice. See, I pictured him more Jack Klugman-like.
Really?
And I don't mean dead. I just pictured him kind of cigar in his mouth, Met hat on backwards, rumpled shirt, rumpled khakis. Instead, he comes in neatly pressed, And he's standing in front of me, and hi. And then he opened it, and then when he talked, I knew, right, you know, that voice is unmistakable.
Actually, Stan was one of my favorites to meet. Emily Lauren's family also was one of my fave raves. Also, some people were cracking me up all night. CCCP was cracking me up. He said the $5 raffle, the winner should get $5.
That was ridiculous.
I still remember that.
We pulled somebody's name out. He yelled, "You won $5.
You know, everybody pitched in and made it a fun evening. Costa with his rally monkey. I mean, you know, we're used to his hijinks, but he scared a lot of people, a lot of first timers. But that's cool. They got to get used to it.
Costa,
you know?
he got up to do his gold dance, and people started stampeding out of that place like it was Cloverfield.
So I think we had a good time, and you know, the Rangers pounded the Capitals, which made it even better. I mean, how many times did the Rangers win a game by 3 goals and no empty net?
Yeah, really.
So that was good.
My son said he comes to the viewing party for 2 reasons, to see me and to see Costa dance, not necessarily in that order.
See?
So, it was great to see everybody. It was a fun day, a whirlwind day, and yeah.
So let's get down to business. Let's get down to beeswax.
Can I read you an email before we press on?
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to read this to you. I think I've mentioned it before, and I know we've talked about it a couple of times. I'm a big Phil Mushnick fan from the New York Post. I always like his columns because he kind of does a lot of, you know, a little bit of what we, you know, picking on the broadcast and, you know, of different, you know, things like that. And I sent him an email the other day, and I said, "Thanks for reading my email. I said, I thought you might like to hear this. Ranger fans have come up with a new drinking game. Every time Joe asks Sam Rosen for confirmation, you take a drink. Tavares is a special player, isn't he, Sam? This game has good pace, doesn't it, Sam?" And I put in parentheses, "Joe loves to mention the pace. Ottawa has some good young players, don't they, Sam? I said, you'll be half in the bag by the first Mercedes intermission report." I made sure to put the, because he likes to talk about how everything is sponsored. And I said, "Keep up the great work, Jim Schmiedeberg, Phoenix, Arizona." I said, "It sure gets hot there during the summer, doesn't it, Sam?" And he responded to me, "Jim, yep. Jimmy Dolan's boys sure can pick him, can't they, Sam?" Thanks, Mushnick.
Excellent.
Bob Raisman's the guy in the Daily News, Costa.
Oh, well, very good. You cavorting and hobnobbing with the power players.
Yes.
In the media.
Yes.
New media meets old media. Juggernauts.
Are we the new media juggernaut?
Of course. Who else is in this new media other than us?
That's
true. Covering the Rangers.
But
nobody.
But the way half of these broadcasts sound, could this really be? Is this really new media?
Wow.
Like Blog Talk 8-track.
Well, it's the infancy of new media, so we're kind of like on the Marconi tip of new media. Yeah, we're broadcasting and trying to get a signal across to Rocky Point, Long Island.
Yeah,
from Italy. So, did you make any headway with the Twitter guy I told you about?
Actually, I haven't worked on that yet, but I will. I will. I'll work on that maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Because when I text you it. Before 10 in the morning, you know it's important.
At first I thought my phone was broken. This can't be. Why am I getting messages? I thought either I was getting a message 8 hours too late or I was looking into the future.
I'm telling you.
Well, you were awake watching waiting for the white smoke. I understand.
Yes. Well, you know what it was? Is that, you know, every time with people, when I send them something, either email or something, they always look at the time. For some reason, they want to know when I'm doing it. And if it's early, they're like, "Oh, my God, this must be important." It's early. Yeah, that's right.
Somebody must be dead.
Yeah, Mario's right. I keep jazz musician hours. So, anywho, let's get down to it all. I mean, I don't know how to feel. I mean, well, you go first. You seem to have a lot more to say about this than I do.
All right. Well, first of all, you know, far be it from me. He's a longtime friend, and God knows he was there with me in the beginning of this, in the beginning of Blue Shirt Banner. But I don't know what – I'll be honest with you. I don't know what game Joe Fortunato was watching last night. He tweeted and wrote, the Rangers have dominated this game. And, they're just not getting they're just not lucky. Joe, tremendous Joe. What are you doing to me? I thought they got the early goal, went up 1-0, and after that it was a snooze fest. They were done. Buffalo controlled the play. They controlled. Then the Rangers came back a little bit in the third period. And then they gave up the goal that made it 3-1, and they were done again. That was it. We're done. We'll get to Torts' rant in just a minute because I think I have a different take on the Tortorella rant. I'll agree with his assessment of his team, if not his methods. We could talk about that in a couple of minutes. You know, the penalties obviously killed him. You know, you put the fourth line on the ice. The fourth line is out there. Dave Vellone, I was listening to the game. I had to listen to the first 10 minutes on the radio because now we've got time change here, or we don't have time change here, so now the game is at 4 o'clock and I'm still in the car. Dave Vellone made a great point about the fourth line. He says, you know, your fourth line is out there to buy time. It's to give your top two lines rest. It's to generate a little energy and a little physicality, do a little board work, and keep the puck out of your own end. And last night, the fourth line did none of that, and they took at least two penalties. Might have been three. I don't remember. I lost track of the penalties when after a while. And then I thought the Rangers were generating so much offense shorthanded that why didn't they put Rick Nash out there to kill a couple of penalties?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, why not? He's not getting any ice time because they're constantly shorthanded, and they were better four on five. I've never seen a better 4-on-5 team than I saw last night. The Sabres fans were booing the penalties.
I thought it was the Garden.
I mean, the Rangers took a penalty. Sabre fans were booing because they didn't want to see their power play. There are actually 2 minutes faster in hockey than the Rangers' power play.
I agree. My thought on the whole shebang, at least, was this. And I'm kind of, I have to say, I hate that. I think it's the first time I've ever leaned it towards a Joe Fortunato recap than a Jim Schmiedeberg recap.
That's okay.
Ever. I mean, I don't see, I understand the frustration of seeing Jonas Enroth again. I mean, for the 4 millionth time in our Ranger fandom, in our history, we've seen a guy come in with a save percentage like 878, only give up one goal. Meanwhile, their starter is not starting. Buffalo has been reeling. Buffalo is dead in the water as far as I'm concerned. Their coach, William Defoe, or Ralston, or whatever his name is, that guy, Willem Defoe, they can't get anything going. The fans are booing them at their own place. It's a 2 points that really you just got to get. They didn't get it. I understand all that frustration. But if I look at the game and I watch the game, I got people telling me, oh, the dump and chase doesn't work. Justin's going crazy about the offense. They had chances. They out-hit the other team. I ain't buying, the puck's in your zone the whole game. You're going to out-hit. I mean, one of the things about this team and the credo is hitting. They hit. They spent the whole second period killing penalties. So don't tell me, oh, they didn't play three periods. Well, the whole second period, they played shorthanded practically. The first period wasn't bad. The third period, they dominated a lot of it. Should they have won the game? Absolutely, they should have won that game. They should have found a way to get more goals than the Sabres. But I couldn't count on Dan Girardi having an absolute shit game, as well as him and McDonough, both minus threes. I mean, Girardi was pitiful in that game. Pitiful. So,
and if I could just hit
I just want to say in closing, the tsunami of hate that came Tortorella's way, what did he have to do with all that?
The tsunami of hate. I like that.
What? Wait, you didn't motivate the team? What is that? He couldn't motivate. They played the game. They got outplayed. Did I flip my dome when Michael Haley was on the second line? Not really. I thought Haley was playing okay.
I thought he was playing well enough to be there. Nobody else was.
Right. So I don't know where the Tortorella lurkers were waiting. I mean, after this glorious victory we have against the Capitals, a game that we should have won, we did win. We won with a backup goal. One game later, it's Tortorella's a moron again.
Yep.
How about the players being accountable and not just the obvious guys? Like, where's Gabrick? He doesn't belong. They have plenty of guys on this team that could score. I thought they had their chances. They just lost the game. It's frustrating as hell. But to unleash a blitzkrieg on Tortorella after this is just ridiculous. It's just, you know, it's just for people who don't like Tortorella just to say Tortorella sucks. All right, duly noted.
Well, since you were talking about the bad defensive play, I just want to say one thing. From the very beginning, and you'll agree, I have been on the Matt Gilroy bandwagon. Have I not?
Yes.
Okay. Was I not? I was happy when they brought him back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've rooted for this guy. I've wanted him to succeed. I thought he had the talent. But I got to tell you, I am now officially hanging off the back of the Matt Gilroy bandwagon like Axel Foley in the beginning of Beverly Hills Cop. I got one arm on the handle, and I'm reaching for the cigarettes. Matt, you're losing your – you got one guy in your corner, Matt, and you're painting me in.
Well, good Chandler God. D. Knight also likes Gilroy, but wants him at wing, though. So you got two. So, but
I still
well,
say
what
he'd be a better option at wing than Stu Bickle.
Well, come on, let's face it. I mean, you could get to anything is better, you know.
Again,
a CD cover with skates would be better than Stu Bickle. I don't know why.
Coastal, I don't get it. Why does MDZ have to go? He made a mistake last night. So did everybody else in a white jersey. Why are his mistakes so magnified above everybody else's? Why is he the... I don't get it. Coast is pumping. It's better than Stu Bickle.
The rally monkey is now better than Stu Bickle.
And twice as creepy.
Yeah, that was a little crazy, that thing. I mean, the Rangers got enough shots, didn't they? I mean... First of all,
a shot.
You know, and I don't know. Everybody's like, well, the Rangers didn't draw any penalties. I saw some penalties that could have been called. I don't know. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist faced 19 shots.
A shot.
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem like we should lose. I don't know. What the hell do I know? Well, we got 33 shots. We had 18 in the second period, the third period. All right, granted, five in the second, but were down, man down in that whole period. I mean, I think one of the things that's frustrating about the Rangers, and I've noticed it this year, a lot of goals coming from right in front of the net. And we're not taking charge in front of that net like we did last year. Last year, it was like nobody's going to be around Henrik. We finally, after a couple of years before that, where we let everybody run roughshod over him, they got to do a better job in that area. Go ahead.
Well, just to on that point, you know, because you know why? Think of who's missing. It was one of the better guys at clearing that crease, Michael Sauer.
Right. But even last year, after Sauer went out, we were certainly doing a better job in front of that net. This thing hasn't been talked about, but the defense has been very inconsistent. Very inconsistent. And that includes McDonough. One of the constants has been Strowman. Strowman comes to play, and I don't think Delzato's been that bad. I mean, his offensive numbers are not what they should be, but I don't see him as a detriment out there.
Now, you know, say they're...
Emminger had a bad game, too, last night. I think it was that, too. I mean, maybe that goes part and parcel with the Gilroy.
Yeah. You know, the Emperor's got to get a little credit for the Strawman find. I mean, he's played pretty well. And again, I've said it, you know, numerous times, he's one of the few guys that shoots from the point, bombs away. You don't know where it's going half the time, but he's shooting. He shoots first and asks questions later. First question being, where'd the puck go? But, you know, another one. He'll make his mistakes, but, yeah, I can live with his mistakes. I can live with him.
I like him because he can play a little amount of time, and then if he has to play 15 to 20 minutes, he plays well. Like he fits. He's just a good player to have. Now, I don't know if you play him 20 minutes every night, whether, you know, he starts to falter a little bit. But he's been a real find.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and maybe, you know, without Stahl in there, it seems to be a little bit of a, I don't know. It's not as solid. I really don't think Girardi is having that great of a season. I think Girardi has been up and down, and McDonough is a little bit better, but he's been a little bit inconsistent himself. I mean, I don't know if it's just now. To me, it doesn't seem like last year. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just fooling myself. But last year, we played a lot of games just in our own zone. For now, it doesn't seem that way. But the goals seem to come quicker, though, than they used to. You know how it would be like one goal throughout? Now, if they get two goals real quick, I start getting worried. What was Tortorella doing pulling the goalie with 2 minutes left? He must have been just like, F this crap. This game sucks. We suck. Let's just pull the goalie.
He was in a hurry to get Brian Boyle on the ice.
Oh, God. I can't believe his goal scoring streak ended.
Hell, yeah. It's one of his longest ones.
So, you want to get to the soul? Well, everybody seems to be upset about the Tortorella post-game conference.
And we get
conference.
To the post-game. Well, why don't you play it? Go ahead and play it for us. Because Eddie works hard all day on this show while I just, you know, lounge around the office and come home and put the kids.
While you go to work.
While I'm lounging around the office, Eddie's working hard on this show. You know, I just pretty much run in the door, turn the laptop on, put the cans on my head, and off we go. I say a novena and hope for the best with this godforsaken network. But Eddie's up all night working on this thing. God bless him.
I am, in the wee hours of the morning.
The wee small hours. So what do you got? Right. So play this clip for us.
All right, hold on. Let me just okay, here we go.
Do you think the Sabres were the hungrier team in this game?
No. I mean, they were. No. No, I don't think the Sabres are the hungrier team. I thought we stunk. And I'm not going to give Buffalo any credit. We to Well, I will give their third line credit. They outplay our top players, and it can't happen. I couldn't be more disgusted and disappointed with our the way our top guys played, the way we handled ourselves through it. That team was ripe to be beaten, and we simply did not play the way we're supposed to play. I don't know what to tell you. Did you ask them? Did you ask them any questions? I don't know why I always have to answer these questions. You should ask them occasionally about what happened. Did they answer your questions?
Yeah.
Were they in the room?
Yeah.
What'd they say? Tell me. Let me ask some questions here. What'd they say?
Lack energy in the first period. Too many penalties in the second.
Yeah.
There
was talk about hunger around the net, too.
Yeah. Anybody else got a question? I'm sure you do, Sam.
Well, the inconsistency, it's got to be a little frustrating when you think that you're starting to get consistent.
I just told you what I thought. Yeah. I told you what I thought.
And that goes into the physicality and that clearing around the net and allowing a little space.
I'm not going to pick it apart. We sucked.
Okay.
And we sucked at a time that you can't suck. And so we have to get it straightened out. So I don't know what else to tell you.
There you have it. Il Duce.
Wow.
No. Il Duce.
Doesn't sound like he was too happy about that.
No. When does he ever sound happy? Except when he's with the dogs out in the park. I mean, really.
He's a positive guy. You see
him
patting guys on the back on the bench.
We suck, and we sucked at a time that you can't suck.
That's positive.
I knew a girl like that once.
Well, what's your take on this? I mean, he was right.
Well, again, here's my take on what he's. I don't disagree with his assessment of the team. I disagree with him. You know, we see a lot of, you don't see it so much in hockey, but you see it a lot of times, mostly you see it in football. You know, and I know as a Giant fan, I've heard it a lot. Your Giants will win a game, and then you'll hear the other team say, oh, the better team didn't win. They weren't better than us. And I'll always, it's just sour grapes. And that's exactly what Tortorella sounds like when he says, I'm not going to give Buffalo any credit. They weren't hungrier. They weren't this. They were ripe for to be beaten. Come on. Sour grapes. You lost. They shoved it up your ass, as you would say. But you know what I have a big problem with? Biggest problem?
What's that?
Tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
We pick on Sam on this show. Sam takes a beating on this show. But don't you go after Sam Tortorella. You leave my Sammy alone. You don't badger that old man like that.
I mean, he's a senior
years
citizen.
Old. He's got fake hair. He's got a Dak ham under his chin.
Yeah.
You leave Sam alone. He's ours. Bitch.
I mean, he's put in his time.
It's like Pedro Martinez shoving Don Zimmer to the ground, big bully. It's like elderly
abuse.
Only we're
allowed to make fun of his stupid questions.
That's right. That's why we're here. Do you know that somebody suggested the other day, I don't know if it was in our group, I don't know if it was on Twitter, I don't remember where it was, maybe it might have even been on Blue Shirt Banner. Somebody talked about Sam retiring, and I got a chill. I thought to myself, what are we going to do if he retires? We lose half the show.
Well, you know what? Then they're gonna promote from the side.
They're gonna get
John Monotone becomes
the
voice.
I don't think they would promote him. They'll get somebody worse. They'll go get like Ken Jablosi, who does the Devils games.
Oh, please!
Telling you.
No,
the best
you
could hope for would be Howie Blows. Bring him
back.
Yeah,
I take that.
His
how about Diggs McDonald? What's he doing?
Jakes McDonald, God, he's the worst.
They'll pick on Sam. Listen, he's our bitch.
That's right. Hey, what do we always say? It may be a dump, but but it's our dump. That's my old man. That's my toucan, Sam, you're picking on. You big bully.
Right.
He's three times your age. Leave him alone.
Exactly. Show him some respect. I mean, he's a corporate shill for Dalton, but still. Funny thing is, Rosasco probably prepared his questions.
You see that little shit weasel with his video bombing Tortorella? Wait, what's he trying to get, a reality show?
First, he's got to get a reality first. You see him sweating like a whore in church?
They're going to put him on that midget show, Little People, Big Heads.
What, is he working security for Torts? What are you doing there?
Your security guard's not supposed to be 6 inches shorter than you are. And Tortorella's not exactly Manute Ball. It's a basketball reference, by the way.
Fucking Riz asshole. Yeah, I felt bad for Sam a little bit because he's been bitch slapped a lot in his career. Even Keenan did it to him in the 94 in the semifinals against the Devils. He was asking a question. Keenan was just like, "Sam, I've answered that before." I have that on. I got to get that clip.
Well,
you know,
Keenan had an excuse. He was so whacked out on painkillers half the time.
Yeah, but don't bully Sam. That's our job.
That's right. Yeah, but we do it out of love.
I don't do it out of love. He's a corporate shill. They're PR department people. I like Sam and JD. Once Sam JD left, it was all over.
He took all of Sam's cachet with him.
Exactly.
Admit it, though. There'll be a little part of you when Sam finally hangs him up. You know, 20, 30 years down the road, there's going to be a little piece of you that goes with him.
You guys, there's none. You guys don't understand. I watch the other team's broadcasts. I can't take the guy anymore.
There is no way you listened to Rick Jenrette last night.
I couldn't.
He's the worst.
I backed out. But if they play the Devils, the Islanders, I flip the other channel. That's how bad it is. I really listened to Marty. Fucking Chico Resch or that dumbass with Kanja Snoozy, Kanja Blosey, whatever you call it. They're terrible, too. But at least I'll hear more about.
Do you think when Sam retires, they'll raise his toupee to the rafters?
You know how they have like a bow tie for Bill Torrey at the mausoleum?
Yeah.
It raises the toupee to Sam.
Just, you know, they used to do stuff with the season ticket holders, you know, get like 4 season ticket holders on the ice to raise the triple to the rafters.
Triple.
While the music plays, you know, Carmina Burana or something like that. Dun, 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 dun.
Dak Ham night. Make a whole event.
Oh, man. That's funny. Not a dry eye in the house. And then, you know, they hand out little buttons or whatever with the jersey when they retire a guy's jersey. Everybody gets a little happy.
Everybody gets a little happy. They come out with a crystal hairpiece.
Oh, man.
Why are we laughing? This team is in pieces.
Holy shit, that's funny. Josh Gimbel spit out his bong. He's so hard. Oh, my God. Too much fun.
Too much fun. During this one-game losing streak that's killing our franchise.
You know what else Mario said that was funny? He said, "I love Sam's funeral voice when he's talking to Tortorella."
Oh, yeah.
John, what about these?
They're all afraid of him.
They are.
The old, submissive men around him. You know, John, please speak. Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Don't show fear. Don't show fear.
Don't fear.
A little pit bull can smell fear.
John, my love. John, my love, do you think? It's really crazy in there. I mean, all these guys with all these opinions on everything, and then they get in front of Tortorella, this 5'6" midget, and all of a sudden they're all like, exactly. Mario says, don't make eye contact. Eye contact, that's it, you're getting hit.
Yeah, while Rosasco stands behind Tortorella.
The 411 pit bull.
Sam sounded like a battered wife who's afraid of spilling the beer. Oh,
that's too much. That's too much. Well, it's actually true and funny.
Yep. Passed that line about 10 miles back.
Oh, man. So, and you know, the media, you know, the other reporters are like, how dare he treat? Listen, they allowed himself to be treated like this. Get up and say, listen.
Not Brooksy.
Brooksy's we make fun of Manson Larry Brooks, but you know what? He's the one who stood up to him. These other guys would say, hey, stop acting like an idiot.
Well, I don't think Andrew Gross is, you know, Andrew Gross is a pretty big guy. He's not, I don't think he's intimidated by Tortorella, but damn.
He's
17 years old.
Yeah, but the guys, Andrew Gross was even like, when he goes, what did they say in the room? He's like, I had to actually modify his response there, like amplify it by like 800% to actually hear what Andrew Gross said in that. Said what they want for a physical, too many penalties, you know. It's like, come on.
So the fan base has turned on Marion Gaborik again. What's your take on that?
I mean, it's justified. I mean to turn on him. I mean, the guy is slumpy. He's not playing well. A lot of people are surmising that it's the change to left wing. Some people are saying that's Torts' fault. Put him back on the right wing. Some people are saying he's had enough time there. You know, he should have, you know, done something there or give him more time. We're running out of time, so he can't really give any more time. And we're done halfway with the season now.
Yep.
And that's why losses like last night's have even more importance than ever. They should have beaten the Sabres. They should have beaten them. That's 2 points they should have had. That's the frustration. But the whole Tortorella's a scumbag. He can't teach the youth. I mean, I don't know if that's justified in this scenario. You know?
I'm not going to defend a lot of what he does, but I'm not going to vilify him either because, you know, they were two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals last year. The team didn't coach itself.
They had, what, 51 wins?
It was 52.
Yeah, but they ran out of gas. Yeah, but still got 51 wins, whatever they got. What have I seen 51 wins in my range of lifetime? Everybody got spoiled?
Yeah, they've won 50 games like four times. Twice before most of you were born.
I mean, I'm not the Torts of Polis. When they lose, he's maddening. He's maddening. Half our show is bitching about him, so he's maddening all the time.
He's maddening when they lose, and he ain't much fun when they win.
Exactly.
This isn't a guy you're going to gravitate towards at a party.
Exactly. I'm not going to talk hockey about him. Here's Sam again being this tail part of it, you can see why Tortorella gets annoyed.
Anybody else got a question?
I'm sure you do, Sam.
Well, the inconsistency, it's got to be a little frustrating when you think...
Fatherly juices. I mean, he's got to bring up fatherly juices in front of him after a tough loss. Maybe he deserved to be spanked.
I just like, I, the more I think about it, the more I like Sam's voice. John, what's with the inconsistency and the lack of physicality?
Sam gets a little phlegm ball in his throat.
Love it.
He gets all his old, he gets that schmilkus. Anyway. Okay. So what do we got?
Well, you wanted to give out some mid-season grades?
Yeah, let's do a little assessment. Who are you to assess? Well, this will be a fun game. The fans at home could play along with the guys in the chat room.
Okay.
I think we do it on has met expectations, has exceeded expectations, or has not met expectations.
Oh, God, this is like my yearly review at work.
Oh, really? This is how they do it?
Meets expectations, exceeds expectations.
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
Go.
Okay, here we go.
Give me a player.
Henrik Lundqvist.
Meets expectations.
I think I would go with that. Meet expectations.
And in
Marty
his... I'm going to leave it alone at that. Meets expectations.
It took him a while, though.
Mm-hmm.
But this shortened season, I certainly give him a meet expectations. Everybody's got meets.
Meets.
Wait, somebody's got no.
I don't know
Maybe that means no comment. Okay, Marty Biron.
Meets expectations. Right.
Meets expectations.
The guy's going to play 7 games if he's lucky by the end of the season.
Ryan McDonough, defenseman.
What are my options again? Meets expectations, exceeds expectations, does not meet expectations.
Right.
Does not meet expectations.
Really?
But that might be my own fault. I might have set the bar too high for him this year because he's made some spectacular plays, and then he's made some boneheaded easy plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll agree with that assessment. I'll agree with that assessment because,
but see,
yeah,
I don't necessarily. If I say does not meet expectations, I don't necessarily look at that as a bad thing. It just means
right.
I expect a lot because I know what he's capable of.
I think you're right. I think you're right on with that because I did expect him to be much better than he was last year, and he was fantastic last year. Daniel Girardi.
Does not meet expectations.
Does not meet expectations. We might get in trouble with that one, Jim.
Nope.
Because a lot of Ranger fans go, he's a... Well, they are agreeing.
You're agreeing with me.
You know why? That's because this our group is just like right on top of it. Needs improvement. Okay, we got
the options.
Dude is playing on one leg. Yeah, I know. Maybe one leg. I don't know about one leg. Okay, Mark Stahl, when healthy.
I think meets expectations.
I'm going to say beyond exceeds expectations.
Okay,
I think he was just starting to get his groove back offensively. He's been good. I'm a pro Mark Stahl. I'm going to say Mark Stahl, out of all the defensemen this year, has been the best. Okay, Michael Delzato.
Meets expectations.
Has not met expectations.
Okay.
I think he's been okay defensively, but the offense hasn't been there. And that's what he's here for. Now, whether that's because the Tortorella it doesn't play him on the power play until recently,
I don't know.
How can he
take away Dan Girardi's power play time?
That's true. You got to have Dan Girardi out there. Okay. Yeah, see, it's kind of mixed. So at least I don't feel like I'm alone out on some crazy island that I usually am at.
Well,
Anton Stroman.
Exceeds expectations.
Exceeds.
Yes.
Expectations. How do the people feel about that? How do you feel listening in the podcast, wherever you may be? How do you? Well, everybody. Sue Papagallo says Stroman's not shooting enough. Or is she behind with MDZ?
I think she's talking about MDZ.
Bruce Driver
has not met expectations.
No. Oh, do I even have to say this one? Stu Bickle!
Meets expectations.
Because you had none.
Because I have none, exactly.
Matt Gilroy.
Does not meet expectations.
I'm going to go with meet expectations. He has played actually better than he played in Connecticut. And I never thought that would happen. But recently, like you said, he had a horrible game last night. How about Steve Eminger?
Meets expectations.
I'll go with meets expectations. I like Eminger. You know, he hits, he mixes up. It's like Tort said, he doesn't look fancy doing it, but he gets the job done usually.
Right.
And every time they need him, he seems to come in and do well. Now, usually you don't see him like the last quarter of the season. He gets benched and we don't see him in the playoffs and everything. But I think, so we've covered all the defensemen. So let's get to the forwards here.
Okay.
Rick Nash.
Exceeds expectations.
Exceeds.
I had no idea how dynamic he was. None. Who watches Columbus hockey? Come on. I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him in the highlight reels, but
I mean, yeah, you know he's a 30-goal scorer, you know, but he's dynamic. He's one of the best forwards I have ever seen play for the Rangers. As far as being a playmaking scoring ability, I mean, guys like Messier could score, Graves could score. You know, they've had guys that could score, but Nash creates. Jágr can create. They haven't had a lot of guys that were creative like this. Sorry, I mean to keep stopping you there.
No, I think also what surprised me is, you know, he's diligent defensively, too. And he'll fight for a loose puck, and he'll do what it takes to get the puck. That just endeared himself to me even more as I've been watching him.
He had a real smart shot block last night. Didn't throw his body on the ice, you know, stupidly, like they do sometimes. It was just a real smart get his stick out, get in front of the shot, block the shot with his stick. It was just real smart. And I thought, see? And they were worried he wouldn't be able to play this system.
Even Joey the Enforcer has said he was so against the trade, but now he likes him. That's why he's a quality man. Because if you can admit you're wrong, especially on the internet, you're a big man. It's like myself. I'm constantly admitting I'm wrong. All right, now, let's get down to it. Brad Richards.
Does not meet expectations.
Does not meet expectations. Does nothing, buy his ass out. Oh, so we got a couple meets. Grabby's going with meets.
Okay.
Oh, no, he's joking around. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a no-brainer, really. I mean, I know he's come. You know, he's played well recently, but he needs to turn it on. Marion Gaborik, Zsa Gaborik,
does not meet expectations.
Yeah, does not meet expectations. As much as I like to champion him when he goes four games without a goal, we're getting it almost in double digits here. Well, not double digits, but he just doesn't score in enough games. He's got three goals, and you know he got a hat trick one game.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, Ryan Callahan
exceeds expectations.
Always exceeds expectations, even when the expectations are so high. Remember that play where he didn't have a stick and blocked the shot?
Two shots.
Okay, we'll go next one. Carl Hagelin.
Exceeds expectations.
After a slow start, Carl Hagelin has exceeded expectations.
We were on
and
his
I wanna
ass
go back.
after five games.
Oh, yeah, he was terrible. And going back to the Rick Nash, and I think somebody mentioned it, Nash does take too many dumb penalties. That's his only thing that I would say in a flawless Rangers season for him is he does have the tendency to take a stupid penalty. But anywho, going to a guy that we also got on very early, Derek Stepan.
Exceeds expectations.
I think he has met my expectations. I don't know. I'm going to go with exceed because I'll even go with Joe and Sam were saying the other night that it seems like whoever plays with him seems to get their game going.
Yep.
So yeah. I'm going to go with exceed. That's going to push me over the edge, so to speak.
And I'm giving him the exceeds because he's in the same boat as Hagelin. We were on his ass too after five games.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm waiting for this guy to emerge. You know, and we got some people got meets, some people got exceeds. It seems like a mixed bag. His mom, however, like Mario says, always exceeds expectations. Oh, and now we go to your favorite, Brian Boyle.
Exceeds expectations.
I was a joke, man.
He scored a goal. he scored a goal. That was it. He completely exceeded my expectations.
Does not meet expectations.
but that just shows that our expectations were much different.
Well, I expected it to be at least good for the fourth line. You know, he's playing like he belongs on the fifth line.
He's one of the worst hockey players I've ever seen.
Taylor not so swift Pyatt.
Meets expectations.
I would say that. Meet expectations. You know, he was an unknown quantity to me. You know, like, again, I haven't watched too much Yote hockey last year. But he's involved. Whether he deserves as much offensive, you know, playing with the top six, if he deserves that. But he hasn't scored in a while, so I don't know. He hits. He's involved. I'll say meets expectations. Next up is J.T. Miller. Well, I said that he didn't belong in the NHL. And I think he exceeds expectations. Wait, I won't go with exceeds. I'm going to back it down. I'm backing it down, Jimmy.
Bring it back, Mike.
You say meets expectations, meets expectations, because he'll make a great play and he'll make a bad play. But I like his moxie. I like the fact that, you see the movie pulled last night? Going out in front of the net and, like, trying to take the coast. I mean, he is, he's got some cowboy in him, Jimmy.
Yeah, no fear. Plays with no fear and no breaks. Like J.D. once said about Todd Harvey. This guy's got no breaks.
So you're equating the J.T. Miller to being Todd Harvey now?
No, I was just using the line that J.D. used about Todd Harvey. J.T. Miller, I will say, exceeds expectations.
Okay. Very good. What's the chat room chiming in on that?
They're still talking about Sam's toupee.
Learn face-offs, that's true. Oh, wow. Okay. Daryl Powell. Boom, pow.
Exceeds. Loved. He's actually a guy. I enjoy watching him kill penalties.
Yes.
Because he does it very well. I'm going to give him an exceeds.
The penalty killing has been much better.
I don't love his jam. I love his jelly.
And last but not least, Jeff Halpern.
You forgot somebody. Jeff Halpern exceeds expectations.
I want to say meets expectations. I didn't have that much of... Who did I miss?
I didn't know if you wanted to throw Kreider in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not currently on the team, but if you want to throw Kreider in there...
Okay. Well, I'm just giving Kreider an incomplete.
Yeah, that's what I would do. All right, and then last but not least, the coaching staff.
Brandon Machinter.
The coaching staff?
Does not meet expectations.
John Tortorella.
Does not meet expectations.
On a grade of a number from 1 to 10, a scale of 1 to 10, Tortorella's getting a what from you?
5.
I'm giving him a 7. Short season. All right. Assistant coach Mike Sullivan.
2.
A 2. Can I give him... Can I give him a negative integer?
I'll give him a 1.
He's the worst assistant coach in hockey. He is absolutely fucking terrible. I don't care what Joe Micheletti tells me about how great he is. Oh, he's great with the defense, isn't he, Sam? Oh, he does a wonderful job, Joe. Wonderful. Tremendous, Joe. Tremendous. He's the worst assistant coach in hockey. Hand me that whiteboard. I'll devise something better than what Mike Sullivan draws up.
He wears a nice suit. I give him a 1.
He wears a nice suit, but he's always got a cowlick, so that takes points off.
What's that?
You know, that little, when you got like 6 strands of hair that stick up right in the back in the middle. It's called a cowlick.
Oh,
Dan wants to know how you judge assistant coaches. You judge them by what their responsibilities are. Stoneface's responsibilities are the power play and the defense. The power play stinks, and the defense stinks half the time. That's how I judge them. It's not like judging a third base coach.
That guy waves too many guys in.
Exactly. Like Cookie Rojas.
That guy was a perpetual windmill over there at third base, waving everybody in. Guy was waving in. Anyway, so there we go with our assessment. I think everybody's on the same page here. I would love to send your emails to Jim Schmiedeberg if you have any problems with anything.
Yes, JRS1940@gmail.com. Always happy to hear from you. There you have our mid-season grades.
Oh, my effing God.
Exactly.
All right, so we got some phone calls. Let's get
to it. We have some phone calls. I'm going to let you pick. Everybody's been on hold just about the same amount of time. We thank
we thank you for your patience.
We have Costa, obviously. We have Stan. We have Frankie. And we have Justin are all on hold. And like I said, it's all about the same amount of time. So just pick a $5 bill out of the hat and see whose name is on it.
I guess we'll just go with we'll go with Frankie right off the bat.
All right, we haven't talked to Frankie in a couple of weeks. Good evening, Frankie. Thank you for holding. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine down here on spring break out in Fort Myers, Florida. 500 million babes down here.
Look at you.
Nice.
Look at you.
You know, I wanted to go on the show to talk about one thing, but...
Yes?
Uh-oh. Frankie, are you there?
I was taking away time from Pat, from Girardi on the power play. How many points does Girardi have this year on the power play?
Two.
Zero.
Zero. I was close.
Zero. I think Delgado has four. And the second thing is this guy, Marcus Foligno, who was a fourth-round draft choice in the draft where Gordy Clark drafted Kreider number one. Marcus Foligno scores two goals. You put those two goals together, and they don't measure 6 feet. And he just tapped him in front of the net in the crease. And the defenseman that was guarding him, and I use the word guarding loosely, was McDonough. And I could just imagine if Delgado was assigned to Foligno on those two plays, he would have been crucified. Poor Delgado, he gets to play with Bickle at the beginning of the season, then Gilroy, then Emminger, and then you criticize him for not being as offensively aggressive as last year. Well, guess what? He's playing with guys out of the AHL on his right fence. So I think Delgado's doing just fine considering the cards he's been dealt.
Frankie, I agree with you. I've said it for the last couple of weeks. I can't remember a player that's been more maligned than this guy.
Oh, boy. And if the Rangers get rid of Delzato, who do we have as a number one draft choice in the organization when Stahl goes? We got
Kreider.
Miller. That's it. That's
Kreider.
It. Everybody else is gone.
Kreider.
Kreider is now a minus 10.
But
out
he's
of
a first
Hartford.
Round. But he's a first round draft pick.
Right. After last night's fiasco where he was a minus 3, now he's a minus 10. He's got the worst plus minus totals of any forward in the Ranger organization, a minus 10. And for a guy that doesn't hit or fight, he's got 65 minutes in penalties. I mean, he's going down to learn how to engage people down there in Hartford, how to play back check, how to get in front of the net. He's doing none of those things. You know, it just makes me crazy. Just makes me crazy. But, you know, when I look at Kreider, when I look at Sanguinetti, when I look at Jessamyn and Montoya and Sharapanov, they're all guys drafted by Gordy Clark. And I just feel bad because the guy that did that did scout out the good players that was given crumbs, Christer Rockstrom, he's the guy that drafted Nicholas Lindstrom for Detroit in the third round. Henrik Lundqvist in the 6th or 7th round, Carl Hagelin in the 6th or 7th round, and then the month before he signed with Montreal to leave the Ranger organization, he scouted out Jesper Fast, who was a plus 4 last night in the Swedish playoffs. So that's a guy that should have got credit. Christer Rockstrom, who was the scout for the Rangers, he should have got credit. And forget about Gordy Clark, who just scouts these New England players all the time. But go ahead, guys.
Well, I agree with you. Now, see, the reason I said about Delzato's totals, and I think that's what you're referring to, and I totally agree. I've been screaming on this program about Dan Girardi being on the power play since week one. I mean, he doesn't deserve to be on the power play. He's useless offensively. 0 points. So I agree wholeheartedly with you there, Frankie. Your other point, I agree with, which was what? Wasn't
Marcus
Delzato.
Marcus Foligno? Marcus Foligno?
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, another guy. He went, McDonough had a horrible game last night. Girardi had a horrible game. And you're right. McDonough blew it. I know people don't want to hear bad things about Ryan McDonough, and you're right. Delzato would have been excoriated had that have been him in front of that.
And
but
the Rangers.
Go ahead.
And I'm sorry. You guys say that the Rangers need a power shot on the power play, and when we had that scout or whatever it was guy come in, I think it was last season, and I mentioned on the talk show that Miles Bell was an undrafted free agent in camp. He had the hardest shot in the WHL. He was a tough guy. The Rangers should consider him. He didn't even know the guy. And then the next day he had a goal in a fight at in prospect camp. Well, this year Miles Bell has 36 goals, 89 points, and it's a plus 41 in the WHL. And I hope the Rangers use one of their draft choices, like their second or their third, to sign the guy before. And they had him in camp. And you know, he's only got one thing going against him.
What's
Do you
that?
Remember? He was dating the girlfriend of the daughter of the owner of the Regina Pats. Regina Pats is a WHL team.
Right.
He was a 17-year-old kid that was drinking and driving, got into an accident, and the girl was killed in a car accident. So there were some character issues. There were some character issues for him, and that's why he wasn't drafted. But that is the one blip in his life as an underage kid. And if you do a search on Miles Bell, hardest shot in the WHL, 36 goals for a right-handed defenseman, 36 goals, 89 points. He fights, and he's 6 foot, 200 pounds. He actually has the same number of goals and points as Michael St. Croix, who's another plus 40-something in junior hockey this season.
Who drafted Michael St. Croix?
Rangers.
Is that Gordy Clark?
Gordy Clark. Okay, listen, guys, the way it works is that the Ranger guys that are the chief scouts, they make the decisions on the first and second rounds. They don't get to see these guys that Krista Roxham gets thrown a bone in the sixth or seventh round. They don't get on their planes and fly to Sweden and see these guys in the sixth and seventh round. They just take a general consensus by the scouts. Well, you know, you favor my pick and I'll favor your pick, you know. This guy in Sweden, this guy in Finland, this guy in the WHL, this guy in the OHL. You know, I'm sure Gordy Clark seems to concentrate on these guys from New England, like Kreider, Jessamine, Nieves, you know, Sanguinetti. You know, that's the guys because he lives in that community, Gordy Clark. He's from the Boston area. I mean, we signed him from the Islanders, Gordy Clark. But his roots are in the New England area. That's the guys he goes in the car and sees, you know, the Sanguinettis and stuff like that. He doesn't see these other guys. So I'm sure he had no involvement in, you know, the other guys. And Lundqvist, by the way, was drafted 2 years before Gordy Clark got here.
Now you seem to have you kind of got an axe to grind against Gordy Clark. Is this because you see a lot of praise on the internets about Gordy Clark this and Gordy Clark that?
I think he's overrated. Same thing with Girardi. Girardi was an undrafted free agent. I'm sure Gordy Clark never saw him, didn't even know how to spell his name. When one of his scouts out in the boonies somewhere said, you know, there's some guy that won the Memorial Cup as a defenseman, and he wasn't even drafted. You haven't given me a look in the last year or so. Can you throw me a bone and let me sign this guy as a free agent? And then he gets credit for it. That's like the president of, say, General Motors taking credit for hiring some guy out of the mailroom that turns out to be a computer whiz. You know, he probably never even interviewed the guy, but he wants to take credit for it. You know, it doesn't work like that.
Well, I've had Gordy Clark on the show. Me and Jim have had him on several times, and he disagrees with you. He thinks he's very good.
Oh, imagine that. But you know what, Gordy? You know, Glenn Sather was canned from Edmonton because of his record with his number one draft choices. That's why he was canned finally in the end. And Gordy Clark can only live. And by the way, Krister Rockstrom is no longer with the Ranger organization. He left after discovering Jasper Fan.
I don't want him! I don't want that Krister Rockstrom!
He's with Montreal now. He's with Montreal.
He can go. Him and Brandon Prust can go out to dinner together. I could care less. We finally have a team full of youth, the first time in like millions of years, and you're busting on Gordy Clark. Get out of here, Frankie. You see too many good-looking women today. Your thought process is crowded. Too many hotties down there in Florida. All right. So that's a scoop. But Frankie, I love you, and thanks for your input. We got to move on.
Miles Bell.
Miles Bell, forever.
Yeah,
I'll look him up.
Miles
Take care,
Bell.
Frankie.
Bye.
Bye. Take care, brother. Busted on 40. We finally have a young team. What about Derek Stepan? That's a nothing. Carl Hagler. That was all Nicholas Rockstrom. Who cares? Gordy Clark is running this show. Everybody knows that he has carte blanche. He makes the decisions. You were at the drafts. You saw it. Say that has nothing to do with it. He just comes down, makes some, you know, announcement. Everybody treats him like God, and that's it. Gordy Clark is a man. Do I have to pull up the freaking Rangers draft? First of all, was he even around for Sanguinetti? Can we get a confirmation on that?
I think he was. Sanguinetti scored a goal the other night, by the way.
Gave it to the NHL. He didn't make it to the Rangers.
It was an NHL goal.
Oh, it was an NHL goal. So it's even more of a plus.
So.
I mean, come on. What about, doesn't he get credit for Derek Stepan?
Sauer?
Stupid. That freaking Browns is not working. I can't pull this goddamn shit up.
All right.
But anyhow,
can I talk to Stan? Go.
Yes, Stan. We need to get back to reasonable people here.
Hello?
Hi, Stan. You're reasonable people.
I am?
That's according to Eddie.
Oh, okay.
Great to meet you on Sunday, Stan.
Oh, it was a big thrill. I'm just coming down from the high right now. What was that Fred Mertz reference? What was that?
That was Eddie. Yeah. Hey.
That was Jim. Jim said that he saw
bullshit.
Fred Mertz? Boy, that's a blast in the past.
I don't know. I even told you there, I kind of had a different, like, vibe. I don't know.
What we're trying to say is you exceeded expectations.
Oh, that's good. All right, I'm very happy then.
So what's your take on this Buffalo game? Is it time to, you know, to go crazy? What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't say go crazy. It was a disappointing loss. I think I told you, Jim, that for some reason the Rangers have this habit of making backup goalies look like Jacques Plante all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to say that before to, you know, Stan. I was going to specifically say Stan, but ask Stan. You know, he's been around as long as we have, a little bit longer, and you know it as good as anybody. This is the Rangers have been doing this for years. Years.
I mean, this guy didn't win a game in a year and a half. His goals against was like 4, and he stones them. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's not, like, it happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, at least a couple of times a year.
A couple of times a month. You know,
that's
one,
true.
The one Achilles heel, I think, on this team, and I don't think they can do anything until next season, is that their bottom 6 forwards, there is, like, no offensive contribution from these guys. In fact, maybe it was Brooks the other day when Boyle scored. He said that was the first goal from the, you know, bottom 6 forwards since Aram Asham scored, which I don't remember what game it was, but it was had to be like a month ago.
You got to get
more production from your, you know, your third and fourth lines. You can't get, you know, two goals a month from your third and fourth lines.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
And it's not like, you know, the top two lines are good, but it's not like, you know, this is the gag line out there. They're not getting 120 goals from their number one line. So they need better overall production. And until next season, you know, they're not going to be able to address that.
Well, you know, sometimes I wonder if Tortorella even wants that. Tortorella seems like he likes to go with two lines, and the other two lines are basically, let's just hold them and hope for a tie. You know what I'm saying? We're killing.
You're not
going to
win a cup like that.
No, you know. I mean, we saw it last year too. I mean, in the playoffs, why the Devils knocked us out? Because the Devils had lines, third and fourth lines, that could put the puck in the net.
Yeah, their fourth line killed us.
Well, so I mean, that certainly has to change the mindset. They have to get players that can put the puck in the net. And, you know, the third and fourth line, yeah. I mean, it's a problem, and you're right. I don't think it can be fixed until next year, until they can get some guys who can put the puck in the net.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with maybe the fourth line, but you got to have more than just, you know, four or five guys contributing.
Yeah, I often wonder why they don't bring up guys that, like, here's a guy like Ryan Bourque, okay? This guy, he's not big, okay, but he's pesky, and he's got some speed, and he could score the occasional goal. I know he hasn't been a goal scorer down in the AHL, but he's the kind of guy that strikes me as a kind of third or fourth line guy who can make things happen, as opposed to, like, the, you know, the 6'7", right, or the 6'7" freak, you know, who, you know, is falling down all over the ice.
I think he's been hurt for a month or so now.
That's what they say. Then why is he playing? You know, a hurt Brian Boyle, how much is he worth?
No, no, Bork being injured. He's injured a lot.
I know he's had some concussion problems.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
even
another
Christian
thing I don't
Thomas
understand. What's that?
Well, even Christian Thomas. I thought he was decent when he was brought up. They sent him down in a second.
Those are great two shifts he had.
You know, you can't tell from one game. These guys, you know, the young guys, they still need to get the experience. I mean,
I already seen enough of Brian Boyle and Stu Bickel to tell you what they're... What's Stu Bickel? Come on, honestly. Is he one of the worst forwards ever to play for the Rangers?
He should not be in the league at all. I mean, they've got to have better players than him. I mean, you could lace him up and be better. The guy can barely skate up and down the ice.
I mean, why? Why does he do this? I don't get it.
Don't know.
So basically, Jonas Enroth came in and did the typical backup goalie, you know, thing that we've been used to after all, you know, all these years. Everybody's saying, "Oh, Ryan Miller's not in net." You know, we're going to win this, yeah. Don't try to fool me with that one. I've been down this road again.
But, I mean, that second period was just horrible. And those were all legit calls. They can't be complaining that those weren't penalties. They all were.
No, I think they were all definitely
penalties.
Yeah, I mean,
penalties. You spent half the period killing penalties. And the crazy thing was they played better penalty killing than they did 5-on-5.
Yeah, Callahan was all over the place. But I think, like Jim said, why didn't they put Rick Nash killing the penalty in that game?
Have to ask Torts.
I can't ask Torts. I'm afraid of him.
None of your business.
You know, you'll yell at me.
None of your business.
So, Stan, did you have a good time at the viewing party? Were you, you know, did you find it interesting, at least?
Interesting? Yeah, it was a thrill.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
Jesus, what are you killing me here? I mean,
completely unimpressed.
It was a little early, really. It's hard to get going that early, especially with the time change.
Oh. Well, let me tell you, you're a real firecracker. It was hard to get you simmered down, I tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
You're really into it. But it was love. We love seeing you there.
Oh, good to meet you guys, really.
Yeah, yes, really thank you, Stan. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to keep me on, guys, because I don't sound on the block talk.
Oh, well, what do you expect?
Yeah. Of course.
All right, Stan. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too.
Take care.
All right. We put Stan back on hold. All right. Adam's just listening on the phone. Stan needs to calm down a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
a little too hyper. You get a little crazy, as you would say.
You get a little crazy over here.
Buddy from Holbrook would say, actually. A little crazy. So, yeah. That.
Yeah, that thing.
What else is in the news,
Wikipedia.
Robin? There you go. Wikipedia.
So what do we got on tap for the Rangers? Do we have a schedule coming up?
The season's over. It's finished. Let's see. I'm sure there's a game tomorrow.
Somebody posted in the chat room. I'm too lazy
to actually,
look.
They're playing. Yeah, that's right. They're playing the Jets tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Why that game's at 8 o'clock, I don't know.
Well, negative. You're negative Nellies. Where are you going to lose against Winnipeg? Shut up!
Winnipeg.
Oh, I can smell a 5-game losing streak. Go smell your ass. I don't need this.
Jets.
Go ahead.
We got the Jets tomorrow, and the Penguins, who are on fire on Saturday afternoon.
Okay,
Saturday afternoon game.
Yeah. That's in Winnipeg. Those fans will be nutty.
No, it's a home game.
It's a home game? It's starting at 8?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It is a road game. Yes, that's why it's at 8 o'clock. I thought it was a home game. So. Yes.
So, I don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just going a little bit goofy here. But
Jets tomorrow, Penguins Saturday, and then they are home for the Hurricanes on Monday, and then over to Newark to play the Devils on Tuesday. So I guess we will be back with you next Wednesday night.
Yes, and thank you so much for listening tonight, and everybody here. You freaking, I love you. The people at the viewing party, I love you even more actually than the people here. And the people who couldn't make it, I feel bad for you because. You could have met the most interesting man, Stan from Bayside.
That's right. And I see Kyle from Slant Shirts is here. We want to thank him for his contributions to the viewing party. He donated some shirts, some great shirts for us. So we want to thank him. Make sure you check out Kyle's website at Slant Shirts. It's S-L-A-N-T shirts.com. He's got some great shirts on there, some great Ranger-related shirts, as well as some hockey-related shirts. There's a Ken Dryden shirt on there that I am going to have at some point in my life. So Kyle, good to see you. Thanks again. And thanks to, who was it that donated the tickets? We're not allowed to give out the proper name, right?
It was the guy from the
Philip
Drummond.
Strokes.
Philip Drummond.
Thank you for your
and
ticket donation.
And
the winner
was Mike Smith,
the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He was at the viewing party, and he won the tickets. And we congratulate him for that. And we'll see you guys next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.